Hi, this is Corey Turner, and along with my wife Simone, we are the senior pastors of Newmark Church. I wanted to thank you for listening to our podcast today. You're about to hear a message from one of our team that we pray builds your faith and empowers you to follow Jesus more closely. Enjoy the message.
Go with me for a moment. I want to tell you the significance of the power of your words, of your tongue. I'm just cleaning all obstacles out of my way. This is the power. Let me make a statement that's going to shock some of you. Maybe might even offend some of your religious senses. But let me make it, and then I'll explain it. You and I in this world play the same role that the Son of God played at creation. Father is always the initiator. Okay, I want you to get this theologically, and then we'll keep on going where Father wants us to go. But I need you to get this. Father is the initiator, not the Son and not the Holy Spirit. How do you get that? Hang on. The Father loved the world so much, He sent His Son. The Father, after Jesus rose, He said the Father sat Him at His right hand. The Bible says that the Father will send the Son again at the second coming. The Father initiates. The Father initiates. Jesus said, I only do what I see my Father doing. What He says, I do. Come on. When He says, not my will, but yours be done, because you're the one who actually determines what happens. Are you with me, church? So the Father's the initiator. Everyone say, the Father's the initiator. Come on, shout it out at me. Father is the initiator. And then you got over here the Holy Spirit. He's the one that brings into the natural existence, reality, what already exists in the eternal realm because the Father desires it. I need you to be with me here. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. It was void. Darkness was on the surface of the deep. And you have the Holy Spirit. He is hovering over the waters. Come on, parents. You know what a hovering child's like, don't you? Come on. You're in conversation with somebody else, and they come up to you, and they start to tug on your pants. They start to tug on your skirt. Mommy, 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 daddy, what are they doing? They're hovering. You can say, be quiet, but they ain't leaving till they get what they came for. Any parents in the house? It's called hovering. Well, He's hovering over the... What's He doing? He knows the Father, who is the initiator, wants light. I need you to hear this today. And so He goes, I want to bring the light that exists in the eternal mind of the Father. I want to bring it into existence. But I know the spiritual laws. I know that I cannot do it until the Word speaks. And God said, the Word, the Son of God, That's the Son of God. That's not the Father. That's not the Holy Spirit. And God said is the Word. Where do you get that from? John 1, in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was God, with God. And the Word was God. All things were made by Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. And it says in verse 14 of John 1, and that Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Who is it talking about? Is talking about the Son of God. I want you to know that Jesus was a man that walked 33 years, but He's forever been the eternal Son and the eternal Word. He is the Word, and the Word speaks. But I want you to understand this. Father initiates, and when the Word comes into agreement with the Father's will, He said, let there be light. Let there be. Let it be. For those that don't know, the word amen means let it be. This is what actually happened at creation. The Father goes, I want light. The Holy Spirit's hovering, waiting to bring it into existence in the natural realm. And He's waiting. And the moment the Word said, amen, light, okay, I agree. Let's do it. The Spirit of God then brought the light into existence. Now, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 20, it says, for no matter how many promises God has made, the things that God desires and has spoken into existence, that His desire for us, no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. They exist already in the eternal realm. And now the amen is spoken by us. And now the amen is spoken, that now the let it be to what God wants, now that's spoken by us. It was spoken by the Word in the beginning, and now is spoken by us to the glory of God the Father. God is glorified when what comes out of our mouth originates from the Father and His will. And there's a Holy Spirit that is hovering right now over your life, over your family, over your health, come on, over your mind, waiting to bring into reality what God the Father has already promised. Come on, a peace that passes understanding that will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. And how does it happen? When we in everything, rather than getting anxious, we start to pray with thanksgiving. We are coming into agreement, and the Spirit of God can bring the peace of God. Woo! This is entree. This is like a curry puff. We'll get to the steak soon. You doing all right? So let yourself be free in church. Come on. I am fully convinced. I am fully convinced that God wants a breakout of freedom in the church. A lot of people don't like it because they've seen an excess. But unless you're willing for there to be excess, you'll never get what God actually wants to give us. We want to control what it looks like. And God says, you got to take your hands off if you really want me to break out and do something. There were so many things in the Bible that I read and I go, if I was God, I wouldn't do that. I ain't spitting and making mud and slapping in someone. I wouldn't do that. Come on, people. There's no way in the world I'm talking to a donkey. They ain't Shrek. Come on. It ain't going to happen. God wouldn't do that. If God's breaking out in freedom, people wouldn't be laughing and rolling. People, God wouldn't do that. Read your Bible, wake up. Well, why can the world have all the fun? But the Bible says, in the presence of the Lord, there is fullness of joy. We're bought into a lie that if we are quiet and demeanor in church, it's respectful. No, it's like a cemetery. It's like a graveyard. Save that. Come on, in the presence of the Lord. Come on, clap your hands, all you people. Shout unto God with a voice of triumph. Make a loud noise. Rejoice. Sing praises. Praise Him on the high-sounding cymbals. That's what the Bible says. Well, I don't like that. I'd rather have just quiet and just an organ or something. It's not about loud or soft. It's about being biblical. It's about being biblical. You want the breakthrough? Open your mouth and come into agreement with what God's saying. Not blab it and grab it, but it's actually, no, the amen is now spoken by us to the glory of God. Here's a word of the Lord for someone in this room. I just eyeball you all. Let yourself be free. Let yourself be free. Hear my words. Let yourself. There's a negative saying, you know, as you're getting older and stuff, make sure you don't let yourself go. It's not an appropriate time to laugh. But here's the word of the Lord. Let yourself go in the Spirit. Let yourself be free. Come on. This is not me yelling at you. Well, it is actually, but that's not the intention. The intention is, it's almost like I'm yelling into my spirit. I need this as much as you. You need to understand that. I have the same type of mornings as you, the same type of struggles, the same time of the types of not feeling worthy and not feeling good enough and feeling condemned and feeling harassed in my mind and battling through mental illness things and other different things that I journey through, you journey through. We need to understand that we don't look at certain people. That's fine for you. No. This is us walking together, Pneuma Church. Don't look on the surface. Natural eyes look on the surface. We need to be prophetic people. What's going on in the atmosphere? What is needed now? But I want to start at the starting place of what God just spoke into my spirit back at the hotel just before. And He said to me, I heard the Lord so clearly say, there is a war on for your freedom. There's a war on for your freedom, and you brought it out before in the prayer. There is a war on for your freedom. There is a war on. This is not just a casual thing here. There's a war on. There's always been a war on for people's salvation. Come on, church. But once you're saved, there's a war on for your freedom. There's a lot of saved people that aren't free. Legally, we're free. Legally, we're free. I said to people yesterday, our starting position in Christ is freedom. It's not something we work towards. It is finished by Jesus means it's finished. It's done. Nothing more needs to be added. It's a receiving. But I felt the Lord say before I came that there is a war on for people's freedom. He reminded me in Joshua when God said to the children of Israel, I will give you every place, wonderful, 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 that you step and place your foot. Come on. I will give you where you step. Can I say a paraphrase word of the Lord right now because the Holy Spirit's just speaking to me? I will give you what you speak. Where you step and what you speak. It's biblical. I challenge you to, I encourage you, anything I'm saying here, if you go, I'm not sure, it's biblical. Go to the Bible, check it out. Come on. Life and death in the power of your tongue. I'll give you where you step. I'll give you what you speak. Are you with me, church? Yeah. Notice he said, you know, when Moses parted the Red Sea, God said, I want you to stand there and I want you to hold up the staff. What happened when he obeyed what God said? The waters parted, the Red Sea parted. Fast forward 40 years. God says to Joshua, we're going to part this Jordan River. Okay, I know how to do that. No, 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 no. What works is not what worked. What works is what God's saying. Don't make a method out of a miracle. That's how it works. No, what God says, I find it amazing. I love this. This is, haven't gotten near anything there yet. This is just lovely. We're hanging out with God. But I find it amazing. I find it very insightful that the Son of God, Jesus Christ, in his 3.5 years of miracles, most of his miracles were done different ways. Why? He says, I want you to rely upon me, not on a method that I did. We have made methods. You must lay hands on the sick. Well, that did not always happen. Sometimes they sent words. Sometimes they sent handkerchiefs. Come on. You got to anoint with oil. Most of the time, they weren't anointed with oil. But we make a formula out of a singular scripture rather than take the whole counsel of the Word of God. Can I tell you? No oil, no handkerchief has ever healed a single person. It's the Holy Spirit. Come on, no staff is part of the Red Sea. It's the Holy Ghost. Let's not look to the instrument and elevate the instrument that is in the Master's hand. What works is what God says in any given moment. There are too many Christians that are living on yesterday's manna when God says, I've got fresh manna for you today. I got a fresh word for you today. And God said to Joshua, no, we ain't going to do the holding up staff thing. I did that once. I got something to guess. Why? Because I'm a creator. I don't have to do the same thing. Let's do it a different way. Let's do it a different way. You remember, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. So God didn't stop being a creator after Genesis 1. He's still creating. Let's just let that blow our minds. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, see, I'm doing a new thing, creating. I'm going to part the Jordan River different than the Red Sea. But what do you say? I want you to send in the priests and the Levites. And when they step into the flood waters, the waters will stop. We want it. Stop, stop, stop. Good. Your freedom. Flood waters, raging waters, oh, step in. stop. God says, I need your step of faith and your words of faith before you see the miracle that you're waiting for. God, I'll praise you when you do this. No, praise me before. Come on. And how do you praise me? By taking a step of faith. But God, I can't do that. Exactly. That's what faith's called. God says there's a war on for your freedom. There's a war on for our freedom. And so as I said yesterday, I just want to ask a couple questions. And this is the first nibble of the first course. Is that cool? Are we cool with this? Good. Wonderful. My flight's not till 12:20 tomorrow afternoon. If I'm still going, someone stop the plane and lock the doors. I just want us to hear the word of the Lord. Here's my question. Whose voice are you listening to? Whose voice? Every single decision you and I make. I'm just going to go like this. That was quite a miracle that I didn't tip anything over. Whose voice? Every single decision that we make in our life can be traced back to a voice that we're listening to. We are created to be led by the voice of God, to listen to the voice of God, and to be led by that. The reason why the Red Sea parted was because Moses listened to the voice of God. The reason why the Jordan River parted was because Joshua listened to the voice of God. Your miracle is connected to God's voice. And God says, whose voice are you listening to? And here's the next question that he said to me as I was walking down by the river this morning. What are you giving your attention to? Listen to the language of the Spirit. What are you giving your attention to? Here's the word of the Lord for many of us in this room. Not everything that gets your attention should be given your attention. You want your freedom? Stop condemning yourself with what gets your attention. Ask the question, am I giving my attention to this? Many of us, come on, if you're alive in this world, things that are wrong will get your attention. I'm prophesying to myself right now. I need this as much as you. And how many people would join me in being honest enough to say, man, I feel, what a wretched person I am. I noticed that. I thought that. We condemn ourselves because something entered our mind. Doesn't the Bible say that there's fiery darts of the enemy? So often we misdiagnose what's happening. We go, what is wrong with me? Why am I such a bad person? When it didn't come from within, it came from without. Do you know that Adam and Eve sinned not from within but from without? They didn't even know what was right or wrong. They only listened to the voice of God. In fact, the tree they were told not to eat from was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because God didn't want them to live by knowing what was good and evil, but listen to live by being led by his voice. Praise God. Praise God. Giving our attention versus getting our attention. Not everything that gets our attention should be given our attention. I want to set you free again. Don't declare yourself to be what comes from without. You have that thought. You have that wrong thought. That's not who you are. And it's not because you're still wrestling with a sinful nature. You don't have one. You're a new creation in Christ. But I still have those thoughts. Yes, the enemy coming from without. Like the serpent speaking from without of Adam and Eve. Come on. Jesus was tempted. He had thoughts coming to do the wrong thing. He had no sin. Can I mess you up a little bit? Flesh is not sinful. It's natural. No, you can't. Too many of the body of Christ believe that the flesh, there's still a wrestle between the flesh and the spirit. Like the flesh is sinful and the spirit is not. It's not the Bible. The Bible says about the Son of God, was he perfect? The Son of God, was he perfect? Go with me here. Was he perfect? Was he sinless? So there's no way he's going to have a sinful nature. Is that correct? True or not? John 1 verse 14. And the Word, the Son of God, became flesh. It literally is talking, sarx is the Greek word, which means literally the physical flesh. And it's got the appetites of it. You need to understand that the appetites were created by God. The appetites that the enemy sabotages were created by God. Sexual appetites are not sinful. We need to understand this. Just there's freedom in what I'm saying. This is going a whole different way than I thought, but this is freedom because we are self-condemning on wrong evidence. Because you've got a thought doesn't make you wrong, it makes you alive because it gets your attention. Don't give it your attention. Come on. I am the righteousness of God. I am the dwelling place of the Holy Spirit. This is the mind of Christ. It's not the devil's dumping ground. The Word became flesh. He said, Jesus said, eat my flesh, drink my blood. He's not saying eat my sinful nature. You can't have it both ways. And Romans tells us that we are dead to sin, not dying to sin. And we are alive in Christ. What do you say? Korabashu. Come on, man. Stand up. Preach me down, boy. We are dead to sin. We are alive. Come on. We're not coming alive. You're either alive in Christ or you're not. You're either dead in sin or you're not. And as the Bible, as I said yesterday, you don't bury dying people. You get it? Then no, no, no. You bury dead people. And the Bible says that we have been buried with him and raised to new life. Buried. So stop misdiagnosing what is happening in you when a thought comes to you. Freedom. Come on, that's what it says. Come on, take captive every thought. Come on, cast down every thought, every imagination that sets itself up against the what? Knowledge of God. You want to go into deeper freedom? Think about God a bit more and yourself a bit less. John the Baptist said, he's got to increase, I've got to decrease. Come on, more about him, less about me. More about him, less about me. More about what he did on the cross of Calvary and less about what I did yesterday or last week or the week before. More about his grace and less about my sin. The power of sin is not the sin, it's that we think it still has power over us when it's been forgiven and cleansed and set free. The devil's a liar. Devil's a liar. Sick and tired of the devil ruling in the people of God because we keep on concluding, man, I've got so long, so far to go, and man, I'm a dirty, rotten sinner. And can I, if you say this, I'm going to lovingly rebuke you and slap you around the side of the head. You're not a sinner saved by grace. Never, ever say that. You're a sinner or a saint. You're not a sinner, but thank God I've been saved. No, you are now the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You're a saint, you're a king, you're a priest, you're a son, you're a daughter. All right, settle down. What are you giving your attention to? Don't allow minors to become majors. And don't make majors into minors. I want to say that God is the major. You and I and the things that we struggle with are the minors. Let's get our attention back on him. Amen. Loving God with everything, that's the major. But here's the way that we love God. You seek God. The more you seek him, the more you'll find him. The more you find him, by way of finding, I mean discover, the more you're going to taste and see that he's good, and the more you're going to want to love him. Loving God is not a duty of a Christian person. If you're struggling to love God, struggling to enter into that, number one, start by receiving his love. 1 John tells us this is love, not that we loved him, but he first loved us. That's where it starts. I can't even love him if I don't receive his love. But the way that we increase in our love for God, seek after him. God, I want to know you more. I want to know you more. The more we seek him, the more we find him, the more we find him, the more we love him. Make chasing after God your greatest priority. I'm going to shift gears into something completely different now. Is that cool? Do you know that you guys are awesome people? Come on. Some of you go, I'm not sure. Did you listen to a word I said? You're awesome people. Anyone born again here? Anyone born again here? Anyone not ashamed of the power of Jesus Christ? Come on, let yourself be free. Let's seal this right now in prayer. Come on. Father, right now, I pronounce freedom over every person in this room. Every follower of Jesus Christ, that if they're in Christ, their starting position is freedom in Jesus' name. I take authority over every lie of the enemy that points an accusing finger. Remember, church, he's called the accuser of the brethren. But in the book of Revelations, it says that the Lord God Almighty has cast down the accuser, and he has overcome him by the blood of Jesus Christ and the word of our testimony. Oh, I know I'm praying, but I'm preaching again. That he says, we have overcome the accuser. We, how? By the blood of the Lamb. What's that? What God has done. And the word of our testimony. What comes out of our mouth about what God has done. Come on, the devil points a finger at you and starts throwing dirt. You start to tell him about what Jesus Christ has done. Oh, God loved the world so much. He sent his son, and whoever believes in him, not behaves right, not is perfect, but whoever believes in him will not perish but have everlasting life. Devil, I have been granted eternal life, and I am seated with Christ in heavenly places, and he has given me righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. His divine power has given me everything I need for life and godliness through my knowledge of him. I have the peace of God that passes understanding. Devil, do you have peace? Devil, I've got peace that passes understanding. And you want to say, I don't have peace? Let the weak say, I am strong, not I will be strong. Come on. Let the poor say, I am rich. Start to prophesy to your mind. I've got the mind of Christ. I've got the mind of Christ. Thank you for the peace of God. Thank you, Father. Come on. The Bible says, be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. And the peace of God. You guys are great people. You're drawing it out. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name, amen. My wife has often told me, when you start to pray, I have no idea when you finish praying and when you're preaching again. Just when I finished, like when I sit down, put the full stop there. Okay. Here's the next thing I heard the Lord say. Pneuma Perth is a melting pot. Pneuma Perth is a melting pot. Me being the educated man that I am, went to Google. So what's a melting pot? And there's two dictionary definitions that came up straight away. I want to read them, and I want to tell you what the Lord is prophesying, declaring over Pneuma Perth. Is anyone ready? Yeah. Come on, get louder with me again. Let's receive this. Pneuma Church is a melting pot. A melting pot is a pot in which metals or other materials are melted and mixed. Melted, heated up. And mixed. The other thing a melting pot is a place where a variety of people, cultures, or individuals assimilate into a cohesive whole. Can I read them again? A pot in which metals or other materials are melted and mixed. And it is a place where a variety of peoples, cultures, or individuals assimilate into a cohesive whole. And then I said, Father, what are you saying? And this is what he said. Are you ready? In this environment, in Newmar, Perth, let's take the first one, a pot in which metals or other materials are melted and mixed. That's not the fun part. Have you ever seen something in a melting pot? What happens? That's hot. Top of the class. A plus. But then what happens is the impurities rise to the top. And it doesn't look very nice. But what happens? They are skimmed off. And what is left is even more pure than before the heat was applied. Hear the word of the Lord. In this environment, I see impurities coming to the surface, not to shame people, but to bring you into deeper freedom and purity in God. Therefore, the word of the Lord is, don't fear, fight, or flee from what God highlights and brings to the surface. He only reveals in order to heal. That's a word right there, right? That's a word worthy of an hour right there. I want you to think about that. In the melting pot where the heat comes, things rise to the top. In this church, things will rise to the top. In fact, some of you are already finding it. You've been here and it's like, oh, that's a bit ugly. I'm not saying the person. I'm saying what's coming up from the inside. Some of us are experiencing that. If you're not, you're going to. I'm letting you know. Don't then go into condemnation, into what's wrong with me. Go to thanksgiving. Father, thank you that you're bringing this to the surface through the power of the Holy Ghost in this prophetic atmosphere so that you can then remove it and I can be more free. God never reveals to condemn, only to heal. Amen? That's a good word. I'll take that one. The next part is a place where a variety of people, people's cultures or individuals assimilate into a cohesive whole. Can I say that the first part really does play into the second part? When God reveals things and we remove it, that actually brings us closer together. Can I just say this about unity? Because the church starts with unity. We think unity is being in agreement about issues. No, unity is about being unified in the Spirit. Unity is a unity in the Spirit, not about issues. So let's make sure we define unity properly. Here's the thing about assimilating different people's cultures, individuals. There's a lot of people that have come from a lot of different places, including a lot of years in churches. You need to hear the word of the Lord right now. Newmar Church is a melting pot where God wants to bring different peoples in to assimilate into a cohesive whole, not a fragmented body. This is what God said to me. I see kingdom culture becoming every person's culture. This necessitates some unlearning as well as some new learning. Many in the body of Christ are not learning because they're not willing to unlearn. We want to add something without something being removed. Come on. Do you know that our God, He's a giver, right? God's loved the world He gave. He adds. This is my wife's sermon right here. I'm preaching for you. She's not here. She's spoken recently on divine equations that God always adds, but He also removes, but He only ever removes in order to add something better. Doesn't He remove your sin to add, come on, peace and righteousness? God removed a rib from Adam and added a woman from His rib. And I want to encourage you that God will remove some things, but He also will add some things. And so you need to be willing to unlearn if we are going to learn. The question to be asked is this: does this, in other words, the thing that you might struggle with as you start to assimilate into this cohesive whole, and you come from your experience in your years and the way that your church did it and the way that you did it and the way that you think it should be done, the way that you've read about it being done, you've seen on YouTube, come on church, and you've seen on Facebook, and this is the way it should be done. Here is the question that God told me to tell you. Here's your question. Does this reflect God? Not does this sit all right with me, am I comfortable with this? Is this the way I would do it if I was leading the church? Does this reflect God? I step into this building today for the prayer power at 3:15, and I encourage you, come to that. That's when church starts. Not 4 o'clock, that's when church starts. You know, Jesus said my house will be called, known as, named, labeled, identified, a house of prayer. Not a house of worship, not a house of the word, not a house of belonging, not a house of missions, not a house of going, not a house of giving. My house will actually be known as a house of prayer. Let me just add a little insert in this. Prayer is the greatest responsibility of every believer, but it's the greatest privilege. This is entering into a conversation, engaging with the divine, with God Almighty. And there are some things that God will only speak in the corporate that he will not speak in the personal. There are some things that God will speak at 3:15 that he will not speak in your prayer closet. Because even where it says in Revelation 2 and 3, and Jesus also quoted it and stated it several times, whoever has ears, let them hear what the Spirit is saying to the churches. I've looked in the Greek. It's plural. It's a plural. Come on. Hebrews 10, do not forsake the gathering together. God will do something in the corporate that he will not do in the private. Why? Because that's, do you know that God himself exists in the corporate, not the personal? The Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are together as one. When did God pour out his Spirit on the day of Pentecost? When they came together as one. When non-Christians gathered together around the Tower of Babel as one, God said, we got to do something here because as one, if their language, we need to muck up their language. Through Pentecost, God gave them a new language. I want to tell you, something happens in corporate prayer. I just want to plant that seed here. I encourage you, come to the corporate prayer. Why? Because Jesus in my house will be called a house of prayer. Can I just give you one visual picture that's quite sobering, but I just feel to drop it into your spirit. I remember the day the Lord was really talking to me about this, that the identification mark of the people of God should be prayer, more than worship, word, anything else. That's just what Jesus said. My house, my people, they'll be called, identified, labeled, known by. Oh, they're the praying people. They're the praying people. Not the Bible bashing people. They're the people who pray. That's what he said. And I'm driving down the road when God's speaking this to me. And as I did, I drove past a church and the Lord said to me very clearly, what's that? And I said, that's a place of worship. That's a place of the word. That's a place of belonging. It's a place of giving. It's a place of missions. It's a place of going. And I kept on driving down the road, and then I drove past a mosque. And the Lord said to me, what's that? And I said, oh my gosh, that's a place of prayer. And I heard the Father, broken heart, say to me, but I said my house will be called a house of prayer. But we've made it everything but. And God said this to me, which I've got goosebumps all over me as I say it to you, the anointing. He said to me this, Steve, as I looked at the mosque, and he said, but I said, my house will be called that. And then he said this, the counterfeit can only move in when there's a void in my intention. It's time for the church to be known as a house of prayer again. Amen. I'm going to wrap it up soon, which is pre the message I was about to bring. But we've downloaded what the Father has said. I see kingdom culture becoming every person's culture. This is under Pneuma Church being a melting pot. This necessitates some unlearning as well as some learning. The question to be asked is, does this reflect God's nature? Does this reflect God? Not do I like this? Not am I comfortable with this? Not is that how we did it? Not is that how they did it? Does this reflect God? Are you with me, church? Yeah. And then he gave me this example. It's a strange one. And I feel this is really important. And then I might try and see if we can wrap this up due to the time. But just hear what God showed me at that point. And this is about the unlearning, the kingdom culture. Kingdom culture is... Kingdom culture is not just the absence of bad culture. It's the next level, better culture that God says, that's good, but this is another level. I need you to hear this. God wants us all to have kingdom culture. And he took me to the Sermon on the Mount. He took me to the Sermon on the Mount when Jesus came and says, you have heard it said, do not commit adultery. But I'm telling you, don't even lust. You've heard it said, don't kill. But I'm telling you, don't even hate people. Now, when he's saying do not commit adultery and do not kill, is he saying, quoting something bad and saying, no, kingdom, that's bad. No, he was quoting what God gave to the people to protect them and keep them free in the Ten Commandments. Are you with me? He was quoting something good. But he says, that's good. Let me give you kingdom. It's not just about an outward committing adultery. Come on, I'm telling you, let's go to we're going to raise that. People think Jesus came and just removed all the things that we shouldn't know. He didn't remove, he raised them. He made it an internal heart thing, not just an external action thing. Adam and Eve sinned not by eating fruit, but by actually internally listening to a wrong voice and actually following a wrong voice that resulted in an outward action. God is saying, I'm calling you, Pneuma Perth, to have a kingdom mindset. This will bring the cohesion in the spirit. And this will be what marks Pneuma Perth and beyond as a kingdom place, a prayer place. It's not the difference between good and evil. It's what was great and what was declared and the new thing that God is doing. Let me just finish by almost just allowing myself just to see if, just prophetically declare whatever that God wants to speak to me now. Will you receive this prophetically? God says, leave your baggage at the door. God says, leave your labels at the door. In fact, now he's taking me further. He goes, no, don't leave them at the door. Get a bonfire. Get a bin. Put him in there. Set it alight. Say, God, I'm not taking yesterday's stuff into tomorrow's destiny. I'm not bringing what was into what is. Work through what we need to work through. But don't come and overlay yesterday's pattern on today's plan, says the Lord. I'm doing something new. God says Pneuma Church is a melting pot where impurities will come to the surface. I'm going to pray something over you that some of you are going, will possibly say, please don't pray that over me, but I'm going to pray it over you. And that is that the impurities come to the surface. Why? Because God wants you to be more free. It's like a dislocated shoulder. Don't touch it, don't touch it. Snap it back in. Oh, that's better. You got an abscess in your teeth. It's removed. Oh, that's better. What is removed is only to bring greater freedom, health, purity, wholeness. And here's the deal. Hear the word of the Lord. Can we move this out of the way, please, brother? Here's what's so important. It's not just for you. It's for the body. It's for the body. Have you ever had times where you're feeling great, your body's great, everything's great? That happened to me years ago. You're feeling great, you're feeling fit, strong, whatever. You stub your toe. You lose your sanctification for your moment. Don't look at me self-righteous, come on. It's just a small part. The rest of you's fine. But in that moment, the rest of you ain't fine. Slam your finger in the door. Rest of you fine. The word of the Lord is stop viewing yourself as an individual coming to church to come to church. You're part of a collective whole, and you add to the health and the cohesive function of this place. And when the impurities come up, and I pray in Jesus' name they will, do not spew them over another. Take them to God. Take them to God. Say, God, I ain't carrying this any longer. The devil's lied to me. Come on. I've carried something that you paid for with your precious blood. I will not dishonor your sacrifice by carrying this into my future. The people that God has declared salvation over in Perth and beyond that are going to come to Christ through your life, through this church, need us to allow the Spirit of God to skim off the top, the impurities that rise. What sort of impurities? You know that anger that keeps on surfacing? You know that bitterness? Maybe that you hear that person's name from the other church and something starts twitching? That's an impurity. But you don't know what they did? No. But you know what you've done, and God forgave you. Don't receive from God what you're not willing to pass on to others. That's called hypocrisy. You're saying that, Steve, because that's easy for you. No. I went through a time where I was falsely accused of a whole bunch of things when I was a leader that I didn't do anything, and there was a whole bunch of stuff that gutted me. To the point I went to counseling. Every time I heard the name, the twitching came. This was when I was a pastor, by another pastor. And I forgave, and I struggled with why the next time I heard the name, I still felt it. I know what to do. I'll forgive him again. And then the next time I heard the name, same thing. What do? I forgive them again. Probably about 2 years later, I wasn't twitching as much. I wasn't reacting as much. Now I'd see them, big hug. How are you doing? Genuinely, I love them. Don't despair. Step back. Give up. Say it didn't work. When you forgive someone and then the next time you still feel like you're carrying something, give it again and give it again. And here's the deal. You have to do that with yourself. Come on. Isn't it true? How many of you have forgiven yourself but you still feel guilty the next day and the next week? And you keep on repenting. And you keep on asking God to forgive you. This is where it talks about being transformed by the renewing of the mind. Do you know the word renew means to make new again and again? And actually in the Greek, it talks about repetitious. Come on, I've got to do it again. I've got to do it again. How many have heard a word preaching you, everything in you leaps? 3 months later, nothing's changed. You hear the same word again, it leaps. It's like the waves of water on the shore. Come on. This is the washing of the water by the word of God. You want to be transformed, get into the word. And actually, you want to be transformed, let the word of God get into you. Don't read the word to get through the word. Read the word for the word to get into you. Don't read to power your way through the Bible. Read until God speaks and stop and sit with him. God, what do you want to show me? Start to have a conversation with God. Start to dialogue with him. Pray. Start to worship him from his word. And when he's done what he wants in that moment, go on to the next thing. And when something comes, stop and engage with God Almighty. This is how we are transformed by the renewing of our.
Thank you for joining us for this message today. We don't assume that every person listening has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. And so today, we invite you to begin following Jesus as your Lord and Savior. The Bible teaches that every one of us has been created for a relationship with God. Sin has separated us from that relationship, but God loved us so much that He gave us His one and only Son, Jesus Christ. Jesus lived, died, and rose again, conquering sin, Satan, and death itself. If we believe in our hearts that God has raised Jesus from the dead, and we confess with our mouth that Jesus is Lord, we will be saved. So if you are ready to pray in faith, turning away from your sin and believing in Jesus for your salvation, please pray this prayer. Dear Jesus, I believe that you are the Son of God, and I ask you to forgive me and cleanse my heart from all of my sin. I receive by faith the free gift of eternal life, and I ask that you would fill me with the Holy Spirit. I thank you that I am born again as a child of God and that you have made me a new creation in Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. If you have prayed that prayer for the first time, we would love to know and help connect you to a local church in your area. You can contact us on our website, pneuma.church. Thank you for listening.